When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Hive Mind. I'm Meg, and I am here with Eli and special guest, OG Hive Minder, Nick Morley, back for the Oscars prediction episode. Hey, Nick.
Every year. Thanks for having me.
Nick.
Founding father is what
founding
we like.
Founding father. Yeah, absolutely. So happy to have that title for this. It's such an honor.
We're so happy to have you. Nick, what have you been watching lately?
Yeah, a lot, actually. So the first one is FX and Hulu's new show, Shogun. So it got more, the premiere got more than The Bear, which is really
more
surprising.
Viewers?
Yeah, more viewers than The Bear. So it was really surprising. So it's about like feudal Japan and how Catholics and Protestants kind of throw like a wrench in samurai way of life. Anyway, it's like a cool period piece, really well done. Most of the acting and all the speaking is mainly in Japanese, which is kind of a cool breath of fresh air that they don't have white people playing Japanese people, which is super nice.
Yeah, that's probably good.
For once. Yeah. So it's been a good time. It's only like three episodes in, but it's great. Abbott Elementary is back. Thank goodness. So back on that train, it's as good as it's ever been. So super happy to have like another 30-minute like sitcom in my life. And then we're going to talk about some of them that just been catching up on the Oscar flicks. So been working hard on that. So I can save that for when we dive into the categories.
Love it. Eli, today I saw a tweet that made me think of you. It said, Queer Eye is queer content for straight people and Survivor is straight content for queer people.
Yep. I retweeted that tweet because it spoke my personal truth.
It's so funny. Like in the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, I've met so many members of the LGBTQ+ community who have said their favorite show is Survivor.
Yeah.
What is this?
None of us watch.
Can you break it down?
Yeah, I can. None of us watch Queer Eye. None of us do.
Right.
Like, we all watched the first season and we're like, okay. And then we were like, this is for straight people. Like, this is not for us. The reason why we love Survivor is sports with social drama.
Mm.
So it's like what straight people are getting out of the Super Bowl that we're like, I don't really get it. Like, it's just people throwing a ball and like tackling each other. But then Survivor's like, now here are people throwing a ball, tackling each other, and then gossiping about it after. So we're like, yeah, like this is for us.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, what have you been watching?
So we're recording a little bit late tonight, and the reason is because I just came from a Survivor party.
Got it.
And so this is season, what are we on now? 46. And episode 2 of season 46 aired tonight. Really great season, fantastic casting. And I will just say, it normally takes me about half a season for me to like really get invested, but the casting is so good this season, and the editing has been really good in the first couple of episodes that I'm like already in a way that like I never am. So I'm having a great time. All in on Survivor. The show is as good as it ever was.
Didn't a season just end?
Well, there are two seasons a year. So there's a season that runs from like September into early December, and then a season that runs from February into May, and then they take a break for the summer. So we're in the spring season now.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So it does feel like there is always a season happening. That's why there have been 46 of them. Mm-hmm. And Thank you to Survivor for making that happen for us. We really appreciate it.
Production costs have to be pretty low, right? I mean, they've got to get everyone to the island, but then they just like set up.
No, actually, oh. I think the production costs are pretty high. Like, so, and I really, it really sunk in for me as we watched The Traitors, how, because like The Traitors production costs looked like, that show looks like crap. And it really, it does. And so it's the Survivor like production team is very large. Their cinematography and their camera work is like incredible. Their equipment is incredible. Like it looks like a National Geographic or like Planet Earth or something that's being filmed. The challenges that they put together are like elaborate, like very expensive, like huge production. And then they're paying everybody to be there, including all of the contestants. And so I actually think their budget is like pretty big at this point. And it's justified because I think it's still like after all these years, it's still like the number one show on CBS, like season after season. So like CBS is at this point, just like as long as Jeff Probst is willing to do this show, we are going to air
just throwing money at it. And yeah. Just like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny tonight when we were watching it, like, we were kind of like gasping at just like the camera work and like what they're showing of the islands and like the drone footage. Cause it looks it like, I'm really not kidding. It looks like Planet Earth. Like it's incredible. And we were all joking about like, if we went back and tried to watch like season three right now, it would look like garbage.
Yeah.
You know? Like somebody with a camcorder on an island, like shaking, you know? So
it's so funny when you go back and watch old shows, like the jump between like season one and season two, if they got renewed, is all, it's like, wow, is this an Oscar film that we're now watching?
I recently came across, is kind of funny that you mention it. Like there's a YouTube video that shows the first and last talking head of every main character on The Office. So like the first time Pam speaks and then the last time she speaks in the finale. And just to see like how different the people look and how different they sound. And like, you can kind of like see their character development. And it looks like somebody shooting a home video against an Oscar film, like in modern day. Like it's crazy how the production quality changes in that show. And I think that's pretty common, but. And then the only other thing I have to report today is I watched one of the documentaries nominated for Best Picture, 20 Days in Mariupol. Most depressing and horrific thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's like important, but it is a very, very hard watch. But we can talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the Oscar films.
Okay. Expected to win.
Yes.
We just talked the other day, but since then I have watched the season finale of Love is Blind. It's pretty tough. Only two couples made it to the altar, and it's an hour long show. So there was a whole bunch of filler in that. What a season. That casting, I think they are purposely casting the worst people imaginable, and good on them. It's so entertaining. Reunion airs on the 13th. Cannot wait. It's been a long time since I've been this invested in a reality dating show, but I decided I couldn't handle a whole season of The Bachelor, but I've started tuning in for like the last few episodes. There's not a lot of character development. You don't really need to like pay much attention up until this point, but I watched The Hometowns, which are always fantastic TV. I think this Bachelor is dumb as a brick, but he's very cute. The girls all look exactly alike. I can't tell them apart, which is like how I know I'm getting old, because every Gen Z girl looks exactly the same to me. Mm-hmm. It's a good fun. And then I told you everything we watched earlier this week. I too have been trying to watch Shogun, but I keep falling asleep. Kind of fighting for my life to get through one episode, not because it's boring, because I go to bed too late. But I've heard good things, so I'm going to keep going. And then we are here tonight to talk about our predictions for the Oscars. I'm just hoping it's not the most boring telecast ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. They brought Kimmel back, and he's fine. But, like, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, like, what you would rather do. Like, I saw last year, a suggestion from, I think it was on Twitter somewhere, that they just thought like they should have like 10 mini hosts that like everybody comes out and does like a little bit. Like Mulaney will come out and do like a couple of jokes, and then they'll bring out presenters, and then they'll just have like several people come out. And I think like that had some like bones to it. Like maybe not like put all the blame and criticism on one person if the night goes horribly. Like maybe kind of spread it out amongst some people. What do you guys think? Like,
But I think
they've
it's a
done
hard
that.
job.
They've done that before.
Have they done it?
Yeah. Yeah, they tried it like 2 years in a row, like right around and before the pandemic. And it was like, and then I remember the three of us had a conversation about
Oh,
it where we
that's
were like,
right.
where the three of us said,
Yeah.
yeah, it was missing a host. Like
That's was
I
that the one that did they didn't show any clips of the movies, and they were like
well,
around the cafe, and like it was like a really weird like
that was the
auditorium.
Yeah, that was the pandemic season,
Right.
or but I think like 2 years in a row they tried to not have hosts, and we all thought it seemed like chaotic and like it was missing some cohesion. I
Oh,
think
okay.
you do need like a central host. I think like the Oscars peaked in the 90s, and they always had like a great host. Like Whoopi came in and like did a bang up job on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like Kimmel is the safest choice that they could possibly pick. Like, he will not do a bad job. Like, we will not
Right.
come out of it and be like, he was bad, but we're not probably going to come out of it and be like, he was the best host ever, either.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And like, if they could get John Mulaney, that probably would end up being one of the best hosts ever. But I just don't think people who are like more likely to do better than Kimmel are willing to take it on because of the
Yeah.
criticism.
I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, I think that it's a really hard job, and I think that the internet has made it nigh unto impossible to do, because there's always a reason to be mad at someone. I think Adi Bryant, the clips I saw from her hosting the Indie Spirit Awards, she was really funny. But again, that's like a smaller, more niche
Right.
audience, so you can kind of get away with more. I think the Oscars are just so big. And the everyone has an opinion, it just makes it so hard.
Yeah.
So I think Kimmel's the right choice because we know what to expect. He'll do a good job. If anything, he'll be a little safe, which is, probably what the producers want.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
what ABC wants. So that's fine. What do we think of the movies this year? Like, with overall, like as far as like 2023 is concerned, like,
Thought it was a great year.
yeah, me too.
Yeah, in terms of what was nominated for me, this is maybe like a middle of the road-ish year. Not bad, not great. I will say of the best picture list, like normally there are a couple, maybe even up to like four or five films that I'm like, these were amazing. And on this list, like there are a few that I'm like, yeah, I really, really liked that. But there aren't any on the list that I was like honestly like super excited about.
Sure. I can get that. One thing that I did like about this year though is like I thought that there was some energy that got back into movies in general, like people going to the theaters, especially like with the Barbie success, like and like we're kind of starting to see it in 2024 too. So like I'm really optimistic for like what's to come. I feel like
Totally.
studios should be happy and there's going to be some good stuff coming out. So
Yeah.
this year was great. I'm excited to talk about it.
I actually really liked some of these movies. Like I thought a handful of these were some of the best movies I've seen in a while. So I'm excited about it, even though they're all going to lose to Oppenheimer. Nevertheless, let's get into
Yeah.
it. We'll go category by category. We're gonna talk about what our prediction for what will win and what we would like to see win. I'm gonna start with the writing categories. First with adapted screenplay, we have American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I think this will be the one category that Oppenheimer doesn't get,
I agree.
because I think it's gonna sweep everything else. And I don't know.
I've been burned by this theory in the past because I always think that, like, oh, well, Greta didn't get director, so of course she's going to get writing, but that doesn't always necessarily hold true.
Kind of think American Fiction.
Yeah, maybe. My guess was going to be Poor Things or Zone of Interest. Zone of Interest is probably my favorite script on this list. It's what I would hope would win. But I think Poor Things is like such a weird movie that it won't take Best Picture, but I
Yeah.
think it could take other big categories like this and maybe Best Actress.
So I mentioned this in our last episode, but I talked with a member of the Academy this week to kind of get a sense for the mentality of voters, and he loved Poor Things. He said that it's just too obscure of a movie, like you were saying, the audience is too small, where Oppenheimer has broad appeal, especially since it was released in conjunction with Barbie. It was marketed to the masses, where Poor Things is like, this is for the little freaks out there. So I think, yeah, that could be like a good screenplay win. Like, we admire the art of this. Okay. Writing original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, Past Lives. I think that it's going to be Anatomy of a Fall because it's not going to win Best Picture, and it's not going to win Best International because France failed to submit it. But it's a beloved movie and it has a lot of buzz. So that's my pick. That's what I think will win, and that's what I want to win.
Man, what a good category.
Yeah,
My
this is a
gosh.
good besides Maestro, but
Oh, I know. I want to talk about Maestro with you guys
hated
so
it. So
bad. It's
my favorite of these scripts is The Holdovers. I loved Past Lives. Would not be mad if Anatomy of a Fall won, though.
Yeah, I did
Yeah,
love May December too. May If May December won, it would be hilarious.
it's
Yeah, I
only
mean,
category.
yeah.
This I love this category so much. Like I do think Anatomy of Fall is going to win, just because I feel like it has like the most like gusto out of all of them in this category. Like Past Lives was so good, but I think I don't know if like that genre hadn't had enough to like take it into the award. So I'm really fine with any of them except for Maestro, but like Anatomy of Fall is gonna win
I
probably.
think the thing about Past Lives for me, or at least how I'm able to sleep at night, is like we're gonna see more from Celine Song, and eventually, hopefully, she'll get the award she deserves, and we'll be like, oh yeah, and remember she did Past Lives. That was so incredible too. We knew she was destined for great things. Okay, visual effects. The nominees are The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, or Napoleon. Woof.
I have no idea. The only movie I've seen on this list is Napoleon, which like I apparently liked a lot more than most people. I feel like
Yeah, I
people are
think you
kind of
did.
like cold on Napoleon. I thought it was a pretty good film. And I do think the visual effects were very cool in it.
Actually
I
thought it
think
was pretty good too.
you
Like
did.
I like Ridley Scott movies though. Like I think he makes cool movies, but like I can see why it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like
It was just a lot, you know, that ended, and
Yeah.
I was kind of like, you know that meme where it's like, I'm not reading all that. Sorry that happened to you, or I'm happy for you. Like that's how I felt about
Sure.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I know nothing about it. I can't even make a prediction on this.
I don't know.
Okay. Does anyone feel strongly about this?
Probably
I
Mission
hope.
Impossible. Let's say that one.
Okay, great.
I hope Godzilla Minus One.
Okay, did you see it?
Yeah, it's
Was
really
it
good.
good?
Yeah,
Okay,
it's
all
so
right,
good.
all right.
Yeah.
Nick, don't hide who you are. You can
Hey, I'm
admit
not.
these things.
I told you I saw it. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, great, great,
Yeah.
great, great. Okay, next category is sound, and the nominees are The Creator, Maestro. Did you guys know he practiced for 6 years to learn how to conduct? Mission Impossible,
Oh,
Dead
high
Reckoning
roll.
Part One,
Okay, Mission Impossible.
Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. This is perhaps the category I feel most passionately about
Mm-hmm.
since Zone of Interest was so brilliant in its use of sound.
Yep.
If this loses this category, if Zone of Interest loses this category, I am taking to the streets.
Yeah.
Because
the sound in Zone of Interest is essentially a character. I think I said when we record about this, it's like the main character of the film is the sound, and it's really affecting and yeah. horrifying. But I think Oppenheimer, all anybody talked about was just like how the explosions, like you felt them and it, you know, whatever. And I'm just really worried that that's what's going to get all the attention here.
Nick, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm kind of predicting what Eli just said. Like it, just because like Oppenheimer was such a spectacle that they wanted to like pair up the effects of what people felt in the theater. Like I just kind of predict like that's what's going to happen. Like again, we can't have it our own way, but I kind of think Oppenheimer is going to win this one.
What a bummer. Okay, live action short film. The nominees are The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. My prediction is The After.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only saw Henry Sugar. I don't know the
What'd
rest
you think?
Of them. It was good. It was Wes Anderson, you know, like.
Yeah. That's how I felt. I was like, yeah, right. It's Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
I saw all of them. I think Henry Sugar is going to win. Meg, you and I talked about this. I kind of feel like it's unfair that this is even in that category because you have like four low budget indie films that were all very good
sure.
against a super high budget star studded cast film, which like whatever, it's very good. Like Henry Sugar is very good. I think The After is the most likely of the other four to win. Red, White, and Blue was my favorite on this list.
Was that the abortion one?
That's about abortion. It's the one of the most depressing things I've ever seen in my life, but I think it's really well made by and large. But all five of these are very good. And so all of them are worth a watch. Like I really think people should watch them.
Okay. Animated short film. That prediction, by the way, is based on the conversation I had with Reed Smoot of the Academy. So, cite your sources, as they say. Animated short film. Letter to a Pig. 95 Senses. Oh, I did not know that was Jerusha Hess and Jared Hess.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see you, Utahns. Our Uniform. Pachyderm. War is over, exclamation point, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. The only one I've actually heard of these is 95 Senses.
I'm not going to contribute anything here.
Same.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, go the Hesses.
Go Utah.
Go Utah. Our lovely Deseret. Production design. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. The chatter I've heard has said Poor Things. I still have not seen Poor Things, so I can't speak to the production design. I've heard it's incredible. I also thought Barbie's production design
was I
was
gonna say
phenomenal.
I think it's between Poor Things and Barbie. Like the other three are period pieces, so like we've seen it all before, like as impressive as it can be, like you go to any production designer and they're gonna be like, oh, make me a movie about 1953, and like they're gonna like have stuff that they can go to, but like Barbie and Poor Things seem like the most unique. So it's probably gonna be Poor Things if I had to put money down, but wouldn't be surprised if Barbie.
I predict Poor Things. I would not be mad about a Barbie win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same. I actually like each of these in this category. Even Oppenheimer, which is a film I did not like. I think this is a pretty stacked category. I think Poor Things takes this one. I want to see Barbie win something, so I would be happy to see it win here.
Well, great news, because original song is the next category.
Mm.
The nominees are The Fire Inside, I'm Just Ken, It Never Went Away, Was Zazie. I apologize if I pronounce that incorrectly. And what was I made for? I failed to mention what movies those are for. The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, the movie about Flamin' Hot
About
Cheetos.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Was Ozzy from Killers of the Flower Moon, and what was I made for from Barbie? If they don't give it to I'm Just Ken, like, what are we even doing here?
I think it's gonna go to What Was I Made For, though.
Yeah, I think it's gonna go to Billie Eilish.
Come on. I'm Just Ken? That's like the whole thing.
I agree. I'm Just Ken was a cultural phenomenon, but I keep reading stuff about this. These are the two favorites. It's gonna be one of those two, I think. But I think Billie Eilish, people are very excited about her. So I think
Okay. All
it probably
right.
goes to that one.
Fine. Music original score. The nominees are American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Gosh, I really loved the score for Killers of the Flower Moon. I bet Oppenheimer wins, though.
I think Oppenheimer is going to win. Ludwig Göransson is kind of turning into kind of a powerhouse for scoring movies.
What else has he done?
He did like all of the Ryan Coogler like projects. So he did like Black Panther and Creed, and like he's now doing movies like this, like working with Chris Nolan. Like it's just gonna kind of continue from there. And like he's worked on a bunch of HBO shows and stuff like that too. Like he's kind of turning into a big deal. So I think this is kind of next step for him.
Good for him. Eli, any opinions on that one?
I think Oppenheimer wins this one.
Yeah. That's fine. That's like, I'm not super mad about that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makeup and hairstyling. The nominees are Golda, Maestro for the nose, Oppenheimer, Four Things, Society of the Snow. I will say, to be fair, Carey Mulligan in Maestro, they made her look very ill in a way that was like one of the more convincing cancer deaths. Oh, spoiler alert, sorry, I've seen on screen. So I can kind of see it going to
Are they
Maestro.
going to just give it to Maestro because of that stupid nose?
I don't know.
Hated that movie so much.
Had makeup on in Oppenheimer?
That's so
What'd they
lame.
do?
I
They
don't
comb Cillian Murphy's hair? Well, come on. No, not Oppenheimer.
They applied all the sunscreen to Benny Safdie's face for the.
I mean, Safdie, why are you in that movie?
And he's so bad in it. His
The
accent is
accent is
so
not good.
bad. It's
It is
so
not
bad.
good.
Okay. International feature film. The nominees are, guys, is this Io Capitano or is it? It has to be
Yeah.
Io Capitano. Okay. Perfect Day, that's from Italy. Perfect Days from Japan. Society of the Snow from Spain. The Teacher's Lounge from Germany and the Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom, which I just feel like it has to go to the Zone of Interest.
Yeah, I mean, I
Must.
feel like any foreign film that's also nominated for Best Picture normally wins it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a shoo-in, I feel like.
Any other favorites from that? I haven't seen any of these. I know Society of the Snow is about the plane crash from the
Society in
Chilean
the Snow is
soccer
a tough
team.
watch.
Did you
This is a
watch
tough
it?
watch. Yeah, this is a pretty gnarly story.
Yeah, I saw that original documentary about it forever ago, and it's upsetting.
Oh yeah, for sure. As many international feature films are
I
most
know. In
of
America, we're like, we have dolls that talk. And they're like, remember the Holocaust?
the
Remember the plane that crashed and they had to eat each other?
oppression of women in Poland and all
We made a
the
bomb once. We're so
other
cool.
that
Okay.
killed other people.
We're number one. Film editing. Nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Look, just because you did a lot of editing, Oppenheimer, doesn't mean it was good.
Yeah, I kind of think Flower Moon is going to take this one. The way that that movie was put together, like, really impressed me. Especially because, like, they kind of had to move it along, like, to make sure that it didn't drag. So, like, it was a long movie, but, like, it kept me, like, very captivated the way that it was put together. So, like, that's, I wouldn't be shocked if that one won. Like,
I
I
can
think,
also, sorry, go ahead.
yes, no, go for it. You're good.
I can just also see Thelma winning because she's like a legend in the industry. You know, she's been known as Martin Scorsese's editor for such a long
Yeah.
time, and this might be like their last big project together. So it might be a legacy award for her. Any thoughts, Eli?
No, I don't know. I feel like most years I don't even understand what film editing actually means. And I see Skyler's whispering at me, Oppenheimer is going to win this one.
I mean, he's probably not wrong.
He's probably not
Yeah.
wrong. Yeah. But it, no, like there are films like I feel like last year Everything Everywhere All at Once, I was like, oh, this is a, like a an edited film that like was really impressive. But unless it's that obvious, I'm a dumb dumb, and like I honestly don't feel like I often understand this category very well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Let's move on. Film editing.
You agree that I'm
No.
a dumb dumb?
Yeah, I agree that you're dumb. No, I also don't really understand what it is. Documentary short film. The nominees are The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, Nai Nai, and Waipao. Waipo. Well, I have no idea.
I don't know either. I'm
Okay,
sorry. I'm
haven't seen
pulling for
them.
Nai Nai and Waipo.
Okay.
I'm sure they're great folks. So,
Documentary feature film nominees are Bobby Wine, The People's President. Is this the one where he's a vampire? No, this is a documentary. Forget I said that. The Eternal Memory, Four
found one.
Daughters.
They found one in real
They
life.
found one.
What's the one? There's the vampire movie. I think it's an international film, but I don't know which one it is. Anyway, okay. Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. Eli, why don't you tell us about 20 Days in Mariupol?
So a pretty incredible documentary. It's a filmmaker went to Mariupol right before the full-scale Russian invasion in February 2022, and then stayed there for 20 days filming the absolute destruction of that city. The city was completely destroyed, and he's interviewing the people amidst their like running, trying to run away, and it's very chaotic, and people are just like upset, and it's not like any documentary I've ever seen where like typically you have a lot of kind of quiet interviews with people where they talk about what they're going through. Like he's literally chasing people as they're running away from a war zone and like asking them like what's going on, and most of them are screaming at him to go away because like they don't have time for it. And so the filming, honestly, you feel like you're in the middle of a war, and the imagery is extremely upsetting. They show like literal babies and pregnant women like getting slaughtered.
Ugh.
Like it's very graphic, but not gratuitous in any way. And the filmmaker, spoiler alert, he's there for 20 days and he himself is trying to escape and nobody can get out. And he finally at the end of the 20 days is able to get out, and the whole city is completely destroyed. And it's like it was one of like the most stressful and horrific and like toughest watches I've ever seen, but it's really well put together. The message is very clear. And the footage, like it's unbelievable what he was able to capture. And so like, I have not seen the other documentaries. I've heard that they're all really great. I think 20 Days in Mariupol is favored. It's obviously a very timely documentary, and I think it's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen in my life. And so, like, if it wins, I'll be happy to see that.
Okay. I mean, that's what I've heard is going to win, so that's my prediction. I am a uncultured slob, so I haven't seen any of these. Nick, any thoughts?
No, I was about to say the same thing. I'm ashamed.
Same. Directing. The nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, Justine Triet, Remember when everyone was like, I can't believe they didn't nominate a woman in the directing category because they thought her name was Justin. Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Poor Things, Yorgos Lanthimos, and The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer. I mean, I think this is going to Christopher Nolan. My dark horse pick is Martin Scorsese, just because he's Martin Scorsese, honestly.
It's between those two, for sure.
It probably goes to Christopher Nolan. I would like it to go to Martin Scorsese, actually. I think Killers of the Flower Moon was like a really exceptional film. And like it's kind of wild to me that Oppenheimer is the one of those two that is like getting the attention. Because I think Killers of the Flower Moon was like a much better crafted film.
I agree.
But whatever.
Maybe next year they'll put us in charge, Eli.
Yeah, finally.
Costume design. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I think this is a another Poor Things Barbie standoff. If they give it to Oppenheimer for wearing suits and hats, I'm done.
I think this one goes to Poor Things. I hope it goes to Barbie, but I think it goes to Poor Things.
Okay.
I agree. They're gonna go with the zanier choice. And yeah, as cool as Barbie was, it's gonna go to Yorgos's movie.
Okay. Cinematography. Nominees are El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, excuse me, and Poor Things. I think it's Oppenheimer.
I'd give this to Killers of the Flower Moon. Poor Things was a pretty interesting. I think the cinematography was pretty interesting, but probably it's going to Oppenheimer because let's just brace ourselves for that.
So Reed, when I talk to him, he's an IMAX specialist. He called Oppenheimer a misuse of the IMAX format because so much of it is just faces, and no one needs a face that big. You like there wasn't really a reason to see this in IMAX, but they kept pushing everyone to go see it in IMAX, and so much of the movie was just like close-ups.
I didn't think about that. Because like when you go see like a Denis Villeneuve movie, like he does like those big like scales, like whether it's like that big green field in Arrival or it's like those dunes in Jordan in Dune. Like I mean, it's like he does such a good job of using that, and I didn't think of that in Oppenheimer, so good insight.
But yeah, I still think Oppenheimer's going to get it. Animated feature film. Nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think this is The Boy and the Heron. Miyazaki is beloved. People who saw it really liked it. Not a very strong entry from Pixar this year. I
Yeah,
don't
Boy
feel
and the Heron
strongly
won the
about it.
Golden Globe, and like it seems like it's getting a lot of buzz. I think I didn't see it, but I heard Florence Pugh and Robert Pattinson did voices for it. I think a couple of other big names were in it too, but Miyazaki does cool movies like that, so this one's my pick.
Eli, our animation expert, your
Yeah.
thoughts?
Yeah, I have no opinion. I have seen none of these and I will see none of them. In the
Right,
name of
moving
Jesus
on.
Christ, amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Actress in a supporting role. The nominees are Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, America Ferrera, Jodie Foster, and Divine Joy Randolph. I feel like this is Divine's to
It's a
lose.
shoo-in. It has to be.
She was great.
I honestly wasn't impressed with really anybody else on the
Same.
list. Like America Ferrera was fine, like, but like it wasn't like groundbreaking. Like, and Emily Blunt like wasn't that good. in Oppenheimer either. Like, I've seen her be better and
she wasn't
in
given
other
anything
things.
To do because
Right, yeah.
Christopher Nolan hates women, so he gave them nothing to do.
Okay, all right. Let's not. I don't want to get sued for
though,
slander.
Divine was. I loved her performance. If
She's
I
so
am,
good.
I am so sorry, but if America Ferrera is the only award that Barbie gets, I'm going to scream because she was the one part of the movie that did not work for me, and I was when I saw she got nominated, I was like, how? What? Why is this the actress
yeah.
that's getting nominated from this film?
I mean, I liked her performance, but I liked her performance because of the words Greta gave her to say.
Right.
You know,
it's a screenplay award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Actress in a leading role. The nominees are Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan in Maestro, Emma Stone in Poor Things. This is the actual race of this.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I think it's going to go to Lily Gladstone. I really liked that performance, but again, I have not seen Poor Things and people love Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Yeah.
I really hope it goes to Lily Gladstone. I am really pulling for her. I think that would be a really cool move to give it to her. I've heard great things about Emma Stone's performance too. She's already won one of these. I don't know when Lily Gladstone's going to be back. I don't know when she's going to get an opportunity to work on this type of project again. I'd love to have her get her props for this. Emma Stone's going to be in the biz for the next 30,
Prepper.
40 years.
Prepper.
Like, yeah, I mean,
I will say, I think Emma Stone is maybe my favorite working actress right now. And like, it would be fun to see her get her second Academy Award in her 30s. Like, I would love to see her collect these because I love Emma Stone so much. But I liked Lily Gladstone's performance more. I think she's going to win it. And that's who I'm rooting for on this.
That would be great. I did think Carey Mulligan was the best part of the movie. I really didn't like very much. Sandra Hüller, like, this is such a strikeout year for her.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to see much more of her. Like, she's incredible, obviously. Didn't see Naiad. I heard it's pretty silly, but I think Annette Bening's just been around forever. So they're like, sure. It's a strong category.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Really good one.
Okay, actor in a supporting role. The nominees are Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling. I'm going to tell you what movies they're for. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr., big Robert category, for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. I didn't love American Fiction, but Sterling K. Brown was really fun in it and really good.
Yeah.
So it bums me out that he's going to lose to Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. I think this is going to Robert Downey Jr. I think it should go to Robert De Niro. I hope it goes to Ryan Gosling because I think that would be the funniest Twitter result.
So funny.
That would be incredible. I agree, Eli. It should go to De Niro. I think he was the strongest performance out of all of these. I thought Downey Jr.'s role was kind of odd in Oppenheimer. Like, it kind of felt like a little bit of overreaching, but sometimes people
What do
go
you mean
for
by
that.
Overreaching?
Like,
he
don't
was
know.
Overdoing
like,
it?
Yeah, like he was just like adding a couple more exclamation points on top of it where like it wasn't like necessarily needed.
A little
and
too
like,
much paprika.
A little bit too much. Whereas like Robert De Niro, like I truly believed like this guy is like Satan. Like this is like really like terrible, like what this guy's doing. And it was like more subtle, like, and that's the kind of the genius of Scorsese and like how he's worked with De Niro for so long that like they kind of speak the same language in that sense. So it should go to De Niro, but it's not going to, which is a shame.
I totally agree. And Mark Ruffalo, by the way, is good in Poor Things, but like I think he's the weakest on this list of all of these.
Okay, that's interesting. Actor in a leading role. The nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Poor Bradley. He wanted it so bad. Coleman
So
Domingo
bad.
for Rustin. Paul Giamatti for the holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Look, it's probably going to go to Cillian Murphy. There's not chatter about Paul Giamatti. He's an actor who's long overdue. He's always great. It would be a fun dark horse. But if I was betting, I would put my money on Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love Giamatti's performance so much in The Holdovers. Like, I
oh,
just walked away from...
I
Sorry,
was going
go
to
for it.
Look it up. They released how he did The Lazy Eye, but I forgot to look it up.
It's a contact lens.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's
I watched an interview with him after it, but that was one of the performances that I walked away and I was like, what else can I watch with Giamatti? I'm like, that was like really cool. And like, Cillian Murphy's
far and away, Paul Giamatti is my favorite on this list. I adore him. I love everything that he's in. And I thought this movie was so great and he was so good in it. And Cillian Murphy is going to win this. And we just have to like prepare ourselves emotionally for that and just move on.
I mean, I thought his performance was good. It's more the structure and the writing of the movie that I have a problem with. Like, I'm not mad at him.
No.
The funniest result, though, will be if Bradley Cooper wins.
If Bradley Cooper wins, I that's what I want to happen. That's like, that's announcing La La Land with Moonlight one level of chaos. Like, that's what I want from my telecast. You
movie
know?
Twitter would be amazing on Sunday if Bradley Cooper won.
Okay, final category.
Yeah.
Best Picture. The nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. I really liked
year.
A lot of these. I really Oppenheimer's gonna win. That's too bad because I thought The Zone of Interest was astounding. Past Lives moved me in a way a movie hasn't moved me in a long time. Killers of the Flower Moon was a masterpiece. The Holdovers was completely unexpected and delightful. Barbie revived movie going for the world. Anatomy of a Fall was riveting. I didn't love American Fiction, but I liked a lot of parts of it. Maestro was very dumb. Still haven't seen Poor Things. I guess what I'm saying is I would be happy with anything other than Maestro and Oppenheimer.
I'll say I kind of agree with that. The only movie on this list I absolutely hated was Maestro. And then I almost hated Oppenheimer, which I think is going to win. My favorite film on this list is The Holdovers. Like it's not my favorite film of the year, but it's my favorite film that got nominated for Best Picture. The funniest win would be Barbie, which I did love, but it would also be the funniest movie to win.
The chaos
would be
just
absolute. That would occupy the next 4 months of our lives.
The think pieces that would come out of that.
Oh.
The internet would be unreadable. Like you just have to shut your computer down and throw it in a river, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I think Oppenheimer's winning. I think the dark horse is The Zone of Interest. Yeah. And I really hope that The Zone of Interest can pull it out. I think it's like a really incredible film, but I am emotionally preparing myself for what's probably going to happen.
As we all should. Nick, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, anytime I look at the Best Picture nominations and like when I'm thinking about a winner, I always kind of do like the test of like, hey, in 3 years, like, is this going to age really poorly, or was this like hey, like that was the right pick? And I mean, Christopher Nolan, he makes a certain type of movie, and it hasn't worked for the Academy until now. I mean, I think like the topic and like the cast that he put together and like the amount of work that went into it, like I'm not going to say that he doesn't deserve it. It wasn't my favorite movie of the year. Like it was lauded and like marketed as like, this is going to be some like cinematic spectacle. And like, and I went to go see it and I was really underwhelmed, by like what was in front of me. And I didn't walk away from it being like necessarily moved. Like I thought there were like some really cool images and I didn't know everything about the story, which I took a couple of things away from it, but it wasn't like walking away from Past Lives or The Holdovers, where you watch a movie and it like has like a little bit more of like a deeper impact and like kind of gets the wheel spinning a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's very much what was missing from Oppenheimer. That's a really good way to articulate it. It was not emotionally affecting. It was technically well done. It was in a lot of ways a real achievement in filmmaking, but it left me with no one emotion other than confusion and annoyance that it was as long as it was.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters and I was like, I must have missed something. So it came out on streaming on Peacock and I saw it on there and I was like, I'm gonna watch it again and see if there was something that like I missed. And I don't know. It just like, it didn't like resonate with me. Like I'm sure it resonated with a lot of other people, but it's going to win and that's fine. Like Christopher Nolan has been making movies for a long time. Like I like people that have like contributed good movies and like they finally get whatever award they're chasing, but not the most impactful movie of the year.
Yeah. And I guess it kind of, oh, sorry, Eli.
Oh no, go ahead. I would say your thought.
It just kind of comes down to how the members of the Academy interpret the phrase achievement in filmmaking. You know, and that might be different from their favorite movie. That might mean that technically they thought the craft behind the film was better than the craft behind another film. And that is, again, one of the things that helps me sleep at night. Like, this is really just about industry members recognizing other industry members for their accomplishments. And that might be the case this year with Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Well, so to that point, let me ask you both, what was your favorite film in 2023, whether or not it was nominated for anything? What was your favorite film you saw in 2023?
It has to be Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, to be fair, when I saw Barbie for the first time, I was like on another planet. I loved it so much because it was so different from anything I'd seen before and so successful in a way I hadn't expected it to be.
Yeah.
But I think I saw it so many times. We talked about it so much that now I'm kind of like over it, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I would sit and watch Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, anytime, probably forever.
Yeah.
What about you?
Nick, what do you think?
It was The Holdovers for me. To be totally honest, and the main reason was because I didn't know a lot about it. Like I think I saw like something on social media where it was like, oh, like you got to check out this movie. And Alexander Payne movies aren't necessarily my favorite movies either. He's made like a couple of other movies in the past, like The Descendants and Sideways, that like I didn't really love like all that much. So like, I didn't go in with very high expectations, but the movie feels like a comfort movie, but also being really good. Like it's like something that you want to like throw on. Like I want to watch it every Christmas now. Like I feel like it's going to be like a Christmas movie for me, that I can throw on and I can watch Giamatti do his thing and like also enjoy like a really unique coming of age, like type story that, like kind of breaks from that archetype a little bit. So that was the reason why it was my favorite movie watching experience this year.
Yeah. I honestly, my favorite movie that I saw this year was probably You Hurt My Feelings. Second, very close to it, was theater camp. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And then The Holdovers. Like, those were like the four movies this year that were like, these were the movies that like I want a part of my repertoire. Like, I really loved them. And only one of those four was nominated for like any awards. And so like, this is like the ongoing conversation we have where like, at some point you have to like take a step back and be like, oh yeah, like this is all just like a million people with like subjective criteria that are not even the same criteria as each other, like judging films. And like, at the end of the day, like, it's really fun to engage in this and to like try and get a hive mind consensus and hope that your what you think is consistent with the hive mind consensus. But like, at the end of the day, like, you love the films you love, and like, that's right. The fun part.
Isn't right? It interesting though, like, when the movies that you like really love, when they do win it, like, you're like, oh
yeah,
yes, validated. like validation. But like, you shouldn't need that. You know, like, that's like, but it's weird that you have that sense of like fulfillment when it's like, oh, somebody else thought like I did. And like, that's really cool. But that doesn't necessarily mean that like, you shouldn't like love the movies that you love just because like they're not nominated or
well, and
whatever
I think
the case may be.
It's also important to remember that there are months long campaigns behind these movies. Powered by studios, like the studio behind Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret completely dropped the ball. Like, they just didn't do the work to get it nominated. And so it wasn't like, it's not a vacuum and it's not a meritocracy.
Right.
Like, there's money and there's power and there's opinions and there's politics that goes behind this. I mean, that was like half of the Harvey Weinstein story, was how he bullied the Oscar, the Academy every year. You know, like, there's a lot of factors, but it is really gratifying when a movie you loved won.
Yeah. Quick question. Was Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Did that have, I didn't see it, but did it have Best Picture like caliber to it? Like,
yes,
it did. Oh, cool.
I think it could have been nominated. I don't think it would win, but the performances, particularly from Rachel McAdams and Kathy Bates, were definitely some of the best of the year.
It felt, when I saw it, I felt like, oh, this is an Oscar film. Like, it's incredible. Like, it's really well crafted. The performances are outrageous. And I'm on gays and girly Twitter, so I probably get exposed to this more than anybody else. But like, about every 3 weeks, somebody will post a clip of Rachel McAdams from that movie and be like, this is maybe the best performance in 20 years in a film. And every time I hit like, because I'm like, yes, Rachel McAdams like nailed it. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I mean, she's
really good.
She's truly astounding in it. A remarkable movie. Nick, you should watch it.
Yeah. I need to watch it for sure.
Also, I think it was kind of a marketing miss too, but that's okay. We can move on. But I hope it goes down in history as the movie that didn't get the awards it deserves, because it deserved a lot more.
Yeah.
Any parting thoughts ahead of Sunday?
Yeah, I got one actually. Something to think about. So, starting in 2026, they are introducing a new category for best casting, which is really interesting. And I just wanted to throw out the idea, like, if you had to pick from one of like the nominations that would win this year, if it was a category, what would be the pick for you guys?
Barbie.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing.
I think that was a perfectly cast film.
Yeah.
That's an interesting category. Really interesting.
Yeah. I kind of want to read a little bit more as to the reasoning behind it. Like, do they think casting directors weren't getting like enough love for putting an ensemble together? Or
I mean, think about how much, like, casting determines a movie. Like, that is
true.
A big, like, if editors are getting awards and sound
that's
designers
true. Yeah, I don't know if they gave it out at the Nerd Awards earlier and now it's like getting
the Nerd Awards the ugly people Oscars
like the one that they cut over to like a 2 minute like thing, and
they
like, and
don't
earlier
put
this
it
month
on TV
in the Chinese theater, we gave out the...
it's like two B-list celebrities hosting it. And you're like, who? What?
Like the guy from My Name Is Earl and like another like head of
Paula
a sitcom.
Abdul.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, perfect. Yeah. It's like we were honored to present these honorary awards. But anyway, I think it's a cool category. Like I'm excited to see like what they do with it. And I think I Barbie was the first one that came to mind for me, the way that they put everything together and how they made that movie work. So
Yeah. Agreed. Well, reaction show, you guys up for it?
yes.
Early next week? Okay. We'll be here to debrief, talk through our feelings. Hopefully we're delightfully surprised and not sad because what we thought would happen happened, but we're also emotionally prepared for that.
Right.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.